We don't know what's going on in everybody's life, but we are here for each other to hold one another up. And it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. We're living in the last of the last days. More than ever, we need the power of God. We don't need another church service. We don't need another sermon. We need His presence. Amen. Amen. And the message that we hear is to always point us to Him, to the relationship with Jesus. Religion says that I do these things to get to God. But Christianity is God coming to us, Emmanuel, God with us, and a relationship with the living God. And He is a life-giving spirit. He is an all-consuming fire. He is a mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Ancient of Days. He is El Elyon. He is the Most High God. And His power is limitless, and His ability is beyond our comprehension. But God has called you and I to join Him in the mission of reaching the lost for Christ. And He's not going to send us out empty-handed. But if we will find ourselves where Jesus is, if we will abide in the will of God, we will be on assignment. Jesus says, "Where I am, there my servant will also be." You want to know where Jesus is at? Jesus is right where He's called you to be. He's in the place where He calls you to be, or in the place He calls you to go. "When I was sick, you prayed for me." Yeah. "When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me." Where is Jesus? Jesus could be sitting right beside us. And sometimes we don't even realize it. Life is where He is. And the will of God is where you're going to find your life. God's purpose for you is where you will thrive, where you will be alive. When we abide in Him, we abide in life. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life." And what? Abundant, overflowing life, folks. Not IV drip, barely surviving life. But He wants His people to be completely immersed in His life. Our lives bearing much fruit and glorifying the Father. That's why we need His presence. We need the power of God. And my hope and my prayer today is that God will stir in each one of us a hunger and a thirst, a desire for Him. Not for doing something for God, not for even going to church, that's part of it, but a hunger for His presence, a burning, eager desire to know Him and to be known. So Lord, I just pray today that You will open our eyes. Holy Spirit, overshadow every person in this room right now. In Jesus' name, we pray Your fire fall. Lord, we pray, yet You will purify Your people and that You'll set our hearts aflame, that You'll give us holy passion to glorify Your name. Let Your kingdom come and will be done this day. In this place, in Jesus' name, and in every heart, everybody said, amen. Amen. I wanted to start today with this scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the condition of many in the last days. And how many believe that we are living in the last of the last days? And the title of this morning's message is God's Power for the Mission. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, proud, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. That verse 5, folks, really stands out to me because this is the situation in America today. There are many that have a form of godliness, but they deny the dunamis, the power of God. And that is that power to transform our hearts, our lives. It is that dynamic, miraculous working power of the Holy Spirit to destroy Satan's works, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to set captives free, to raise the dead. It's the power of God that we need in our lives. If we are not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, then we have no witness for Christ. Jesus said to his followers in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, he said, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. The disciples were instructed to live in a constant state of readiness and expectancy of the Lord's return. He says their waist was to be girded and their lamps burning. Now, in Eastern lands, a belt was drawn around the waist so that if they had to walk quickly or if they had to run, they would take their garment and they would fold it up inside the belt so they would be encumbered and they could run. And so he says, I want your waist girded and I want your lamp burning. And that girded waist, folks, speaks not only of readiness, but it really speaks of the mission of God, the purpose for which you and I were created. God has a plan and a purpose for us, and we need to be in a state of readiness so that we can accomplish the will of God. The burning lamp speaks of your influence or your testimony to the world. Again, without the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I have no witness. We have no testimony. What the world needs is not another preacher. What they need is Jesus Christ. They need to encounter the living God. They need to have an encounter with Jesus and an encounter of power, because he is a powerful God. He is a mighty God. And God wants to manifest himself to the world through you and I. But we have got to get ourselves ready. We have got to get ourselves in a state of readiness. We have to have, if you will, our loins girt about, so that there is nothing that's going to encumber us, nothing that's going to hinder us from running this race and accomplishing the mission of God that he has given us. There is nothing more important than the will of God, because unless the will of God is done, our lives would have been lived in vain. Are you hearing me today? Our lives are vain apart from the abiding presence of the Lord. He is our life now. And God wants us to understand our purpose, understand why we're here, to have a full understanding of the mission to which He is calling us. And He wants us to have our lamps filled with oil, which is the Holy Spirit. And the reason why the church in America especially has lost its witness is it has lost its love. It has lost its passion. It has lost its fire. It has lost the oil. And now we've gone into a place of a form of godliness where churches can do all the stuff, have all the programs, have all the nice stuff, the nice furniture, the nice music, the nice preaching, the little sermonettes that make you feel good, and yet be void of the substance, the reality of what it's all about, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus knocked on the door of a church in Laodicea, and He says, "Behold, I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. Are you hearing me? Are you going to allow me to have you? Are you going to open the door and allow me to come in?" Because without Jesus, we have nothing but a form of godliness. We have nothing but religious practice. And God didn't come to give us religion. He came to deliver us from religion. He came to set the captives free who are under religious bondage, under Pharisees and those who had controlled them and manipulated them and used guilt and shame to control the people and had been teaching the very principles of God, but they didn't have the heart of the law. They didn't have the God to whom they were talking about. Are you hearing me? Today we have the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to have the Holy Spirit of God working in and through our lives. We have been given the privilege to preach this gospel by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And this gospel is a gospel of power. We have heard sermon after sermon after sermon. Some of you hundreds, some thousands of sermons. And how much of all that information, again, are we living? Are we applying to our daily lives? Are we even doing the first things, the elementary things? Are we praying? Are we in the Word of God? Are we sharing our testimony with people? Are we so fearful? Are we so weak that we can't open our mouth and speak for Jesus Christ? Are we that weak? Do you know God has made available to us His Holy Spirit, the power of God, to make us bold witnesses, fearless witnesses for Him? And God is saying, "I want to fill your life with My Holy Spirit and empower you and send you out in My name, and you will represent Me, and you will heal the sick, and you will cleanse the lepers, and you will raise the dead, and you will cast out demons in My name, and you will not be afraid, and all the powers of the enemy will be under your control, because I have given you the authority to go in My name." Jesus' heart is for the lost, for the harvest. If you're in Christ today, you have a mission and you have a testimony. In the Old Testament, the high priest was instructed to continually abide in the tabernacle and to keep himself pure. Two things. He was to abide in the tabernacle and he was to keep himself pure. Today, in the New Testament, you and I have become God's tabernacle. And as His priesthood, His royal priesthood, we are to keep ourselves pure because of the anointing. The reason why the priest was not to go out of the sanctuary, in other words, he was to continue to abide in that place of His presence, is because the holy oil, the anointing, was upon him. And the Lord says, "For the crown or consecration of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord." That's Leviticus 21 and verse 12. He says, "Nor shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God." Why? "For the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord." Because we are representing his name in the earth. Israel had been called as a nation of priests to represent Jehovah God in the earth. Today, you and I have been grafted into Christ, and we also have been given the assignment to represent God as a priesthood in the earth. And in order for us to do that, we must also abide where? In Christ. And we must keep ourselves unspotted or pure, unspotted from this sin-sick world around us. The only way we're going to remain pure, the only way we're going to remain holy, is to abide in Him. Your best effort on your best day is not going to do it. My best effort is not going to do it. I depend, just like you, upon the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. He is my strength. He is my wisdom. He is my sanctification. He is all that I need. Christ is all I need. You and I together make up the temple of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us is a member of God's building in Christ. And so if we are His people, His temple, then the temple needs to also be united and work together. Amen. A building cannot stand unless every stone is in its place. There has to be unity. There has to be giving and taking. There has to be a submitting of one's will to another so that we can be together in the purpose of God. That's why Jesus said, whenever two or three gather together in my name, there I am in your midst, because we make up the corporate temple of God. We're not talking about the church building. We're talking about the people who make up the church. And we are to be united and gathered together in His name. And when we're together in His name, He says, I will be there in your midst. It is important that we are together. It is important that we are in fellowship. It is important because your life depends on the life of Christ. And that life, folks, is not simply given to you, but it's given to your brothers and your sisters. And together, we are to build one another up in Him. I can't do the whole thing, but together we can grow. Together we can mature. Together, amen, we can become the temple of God, a habitation of God in the Spirit. When our hearts are united, when we're together, God takes note of that. And that's the place where He commands the blessing, even life evermore. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul said, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Paul was saying, in essence, that if someone comes in and wrecks the testimony of God's church, God will destroy that person. Do you hear that? We represent the very honor of God as His people. And He's saying, if you defile my temple, if you wreck the testimony, the witness of my church, that God will destroy that person. That's what the Bible says. Where is the fear of the Lord today? Where is the respect due His name? Where is the honor due His name? God is holy. God has come that we might have life and we might have it to the full. God gave His Son Jesus to die on that cross for our sins. He paid the highest price for us. He died a brutal death out of love for you and for me. If we deny such a great salvation, if we reject that love of God, then we will get what we deserve. For God so loved the world. We know that and we can quote that. Oh yeah, God so loved the world. Do you understand what it means by God loving the world? It meant the cross. It meant the highest price had to be paid for you and for me to be set free. And if we have received God's mercy, then now we should also go and show mercy. Amen. We should love people. We should care about people. We should have His heart in us. Do we have the heart of Jesus? Do you know the heart of Jesus is to seek and to save that which is lost? If we don't have a desire to serve Jesus, if we don't have a desire to serve His people, if we don't have a desire to reach the lost, there's something wrong. If you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, His desires will become your desires. Are you hearing me? You will desire what He desires. You will want what He wants. You will have such an incredible love that there will be no fear in standing up for Jesus and even in a willingness to pay the price of even a martyr's death for Jesus. And it's not possible in our own human ability. It's only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. And can I suggest to you that the church in America, for the most part, has a form of godliness, but they deny the dunamis, the power of God, and it is the power of God that's going to get the job done. We need to get back. You know, the early disciples, you know the guys that Jesus chose, probably most of them are the least unlikely. Kind of like you and I, right? They didn't have a deep theological background. They didn't have the theological background like the Pharisees and the religious leaders did. They were just fishermen. They were just rough, tough guys, a lot of them, you know, tax collectors, whatever. And God called them together, and Jesus hung out with them. They hung out with Jesus. They were with Jesus. And Jesus did teach them. But how many know that Jesus taught them practically, experientially? They weren't just sitting around getting more and more theology, more and more information. He was saying, this is the truth. Now this is the way to live it out. This is how you apply it. This is how you do it. You see, we're supposed to do the stuff, folks, not just continually be learning about how to do the stuff. We need to start doing the stuff He called us to do. Let me just say this, folks, that if you don't get the fire of God in your life, you're going to continue just to be satisfied with just getting another happy meal on Sunday, whatever. What you need is the fire of God burning in you. Amen? That passion of God in you to where it's going to motivate you. It's going to constrain you, like Paul said, to preach the gospel and to share the love of Jesus with the world. This is not some kind of intellectual thing where we just sit around and we get more information so that we can win a Bible debate. It's about learning Him, knowing how to live this life, walk this life out, how to demonstrate and manifest the presence of God in every place. God wants to work through us in signs and wonders and miracles, but we need the fire of God to do that. We're not going to do that by getting just another sermon. Are you hearing me? We've got to get beyond just hearing sermons over and over again to are we doing what we first were told to do? We're asking God, God, give me more. I want to learn more. He said, well, what did you do with what I gave you already? Why should He give us any more if we're not doing anything with it? Oh, and we're saying, oh, boy, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Yeah, it is naturally. But we're called to be supernatural. In Him, we're supernatural. When you're filled with the fire of God, you become another person. You have a strength that is not yours. You have wisdom that is not yours. You have ability that's not yours. And that way, people will know that, hey, those guys have not been to theological school, but they've been with Jesus. They took note. Peter was testifying to the rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. This was in Acts chapter 4 about the crippled man, you know, at the Gate Beautiful that was supernaturally healed. And boy, did that cause a stir. And in verse 13 of Acts chapter 4, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. And they realized that they had what? They had been with Jesus. Hey, people who hang out with Jesus become like Jesus. You cannot walk with Jesus and not be changed. And it wasn't because they were better than anybody else. They had simply been with Jesus, and they were under his authority. We're hanging out with Jesus. You can play church if you want, but for me, I'm just going to hang out with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I don't want another program. We don't need another program. We just need his presence. There's a song we sing. It's an old hymn. I've been bringing it out. It hasn't been in the little book, but over at the Shelton Rehab. It's called Make Me a Blessing. It says, out of my life may Jesus shine. That's what the world needs. They need to see Jesus. They don't need to see us. They need to see Jesus. They don't need to be following after the next great personality behind the pulpit. Come on. We've got personality cults, people following this guy and that guy and this one and that one. Come on, we follow Jesus. Get a hold of God. Cry out to God and let him fill you with his holy fire. Let him set your life on fire. Let him burn in your heart. Let him set you ablaze with a holy passion that will motivate, will constrain you. It will change the way you think, the way you live. I'm here to tell you folks that God has changed my life. He's changing my life, and it is the power of the Holy Spirit that I abide in. I can't do it in myself. I'm not smart enough. None of us are. We're not clever enough. Nobody is. It's not about having the gift of gab. It's about having the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, working through just common people like you and I. In miraculous ways where people are going to know that this person has been with Jesus. Folks, if we just come to church on Sunday and hang out with Jesus, it's not going to cut it. Are you hearing me? If that's the scope of your relationship, I go to church and I get the IV drip, you know, and I survive maybe half a day, and then the rest of the week it's defeat, failure, loss of victory. And I come to church and it's like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then you walk out that door and it's like a slow drain. Why? Because you're not abiding in the Lord. You got to continue. You need to learn how to pray and get a hold of God, cry out to God. Again, folks, it's not about being better than somebody else. These guys were just regular guys. God called them out. But they'd been with Jesus. That was the key. And God was using people like them to say to the world that, hey, it's not of people. It's not of man. It's not like the people that you see with these funny looking robes and they look around, look so pious walking around, you know, with their crosses and stuff. Are you hearing me? It's not about any of that stuff. That's dead religion. It's about the substance who is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The world needs Jesus. They don't need religion. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, this is when Jesus had called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And so in verse 6, it says, they departed and they went through the towns doing what? Preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, listen, where he himself was about to go. Jesus says, where I am, there my servant will be. Where is life? Life is found in the will of God for you. Do you know what it is? Verse 9, he says, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. This mission that we're called to, and this testimony, requires the power of God, power of the Holy Spirit. There are many people who are going around trying to work for God, trying to serve God, in just their human ability. And sometimes they're clever enough to be able to manipulate and control people's minds to have a gathering or have a following after them. But it's not after Christ. There are some very large churches, I won't mention the names, very large churches in America that are just personality cults. They're following after people and not after Christ. In the context of proclaiming the kingdom of God to the lost, you and I, the church, have been given authority. And we've been commanded, folks, we've been commanded to preach this gospel into all the world. We have been commanded to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to drive out demons, to raise the dead. We've been commanded by God in the church, in the New Testament, to do these things. And some people will say, well, that was just the early church. That was just the first 12 apostles. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 28. He says, teach them to observe everything I taught you. That means you and I need to learn the same thing that Jesus taught the disciples, who have also passed it down to us, that we need to do what Jesus did. And I tell you what, there is nothing more exciting than doing the works that Jesus did. This Christianity thing, amen, is not boring. It is alive, it is vibrant, it is exciting, it is life-changing, life-transforming, and it's by the power of the Spirit, amen, and not by us. If people are bored, it's because they're not connecting to the power source. Man, you get, let God get a hold of you, let Him fill you with His fire, and you won't be bored anymore. You light up like a Christmas tree. Come on, you want to serve God, you want to run this race, you want to tell people about Jesus, you want to see the sick healed, amen? You want to lay hands on people, because you know the kingdom of God is within you. God sent us, God called us, hallelujah. Do you know, folks, that most Muslims, you're never going to theologically convince them that they're wrong. And that Jesus is the only way. What you need to show them is that Jesus is the true God. He is the God that answers by fire. He is the God of gods. That He is the Most High God. And that He is a God that works in miracles and signs and wonders. There are many people, folks, that will never come to Jesus just because you explain some theological lesson to them. Are you hearing me? They need to know that Jesus is alive. Amen. That He died for them on the cross and that He's provided salvation and forgiveness of their sins. Are you hearing me today? But there needs to be also the demonstration of the kingdom and of power among us. When we go out, these walls, folks, there's people out there that need to hear this message. And you don't have to just give them words, because the kingdom is not in word only, but in power and in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It is a gospel of power, and we need the power of God. We need the fire of God to fall. Lord, I pray, let Your fire fall in this place. Stir up our hearts, O God, again. In the book of Acts, folks, the apostles, they were constantly preaching the gospel and healing the sick. For what reason? In order to bring souls into the kingdom. There are many people who believe when they see the miracles. Are you hearing me? Not that you convinced them theologically, but they saw that God is real. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That He is risen, and we're bearing witness to the resurrection by the power of God. See, the devil has convinced many Christians, oh, that's just for that guy. That's just for that evangelist or for that speaker or for that person. No, it's for you. The power of God, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is for you. God wants to endue you with power from on high so that you can be a witness and power. Sometimes I like to watch debates and Bible debates and people, you know, and there's a place, folks, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. But folks, we got to get beyond just the intellectualism of trying to win somebody over by winning a debate. Unless we're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, folks, it's just going to be another dry dialogue. Are you hearing me? I believe the reason why we don't have a lot of miracles in the church in America. And we have lots, we've had lots of miracles here in this church. But there's more God has for us. And it's not just so we can say, look at me. It's so that we can say, look at Jesus. He's alive. Amen. He's real. He's the real God. He's the true God. It's because we're asking God, I want you to hear this, to do for us what He already gave us authority to do. I'm going to say it again. We're asking God to do what He's already given us the authority to do. I'll give you an example. If you've got an active child that needs to go to bed, you don't have a prayer meeting. Say, oh Lord, would you tell this child to go to bed? No. You have authority as a parent to command the child and say, time for bed. Hit it. Amen? Now, if that child doesn't believe that you believe in who you are as a parent, you're just going to say, I ain't going to bed. See, that child knows if you're the authority there or not. And parents, we need to be the authority at home. Amen. Not their buddy, but the authority. We love our children and we love them enough to tell them it's time to go to bed because you got to get up and you got to go to school the next day. But you're not going to sit around and pray and ask God to do it for you. You understand? This is what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to do what He's already given us authority to do. That is to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. God's already told us to do it. And too often we're just sitting around asking God, God, would you do this? And He said, go and do it. Why was it that Jesus was upset with the disciples when they could not cast the demon out of the child? Why? Because he had every reason to be upset with them because He had already told them what He wanted them to do. And it was due to unbelief. It was due to a lack of faith, brother. Amen? They didn't believe that they could do what God said they could do. See, that's the big factor there, isn't it? Unbelief. How many believe that God can heal today? It's funny because we'll say sometimes like, okay, you believe God can heal today? Everybody raise their hand. How many believe that God's going to heal you right now? Well, amen. Do we really believe that God can heal today? Amen? Yeah. If you need a miracle, believe. It's already done. Believe when you pray, Jesus said, that you receive it. And you shall have it. In other words, faith is saying it's already a done deal. Right? It's already accomplished. It's already a done deal. Now, let me just say this. Our authority is in the will of God. And we're not called to entertain people. We never allow, amen, or use the power of God to perform some parlor trick or perform for people, even because of what people want. We obey the will of God in every situation. So we've got to know His voice. We need to know His voice when He's speaking to us. When He's pressing us to move, to speak to someone or to pray for somebody, we need to know His voice. We need to know when the Holy Spirit is leading us in a situation. In 2 Timothy 1:7, I want you to hear this, folks, today. God has not given us a spirit of what? Okay. If I'm fearful, it means that I'm operating in unbelief. The good news is there's a solution that you can deal with that fear problem, and you can deal with it today. How many would like to get the fear out of your life today? I see a couple hands. Not everybody's operating in fear, but you know, fear is a big factor. I deal with it. The enemy's constantly trying to use fear to stop us from doing the work of God. So if you want to be free from fear, the answer is the fire of God, the power of God. He will make you fearless. He will make you like Peter and John, bold, bold witnesses, fearless, even to the degree that when they were flogged for Jesus, they went out rejoicing that they were worthy to be counted worthy to be receiving stripes for Jesus. Come on, folks, that's power there. That's not natural. Either that or they were crazy. And I don't believe they were crazy. I believe they were just in the joy of the Lord. How many times you've heard it, but praise brings God's presence. Amen? God's presence brings joy. In God's presence there is what? Fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. So what do we need? We need His presence. We need God's fire. And we need His holy power in our lives. How many are here today and saying, you know, yeah, I get that. That's what I'm wanting. How many are already sensing a hunger in your heart for more of God's presence right now? Just be honest. Okay. I'm going to make sure that we're getting through here. Hallelujah. How many are feeling even today that maybe there's even a desperation in your heart for more of Him? Like you're desperate for God. You know you need Him. You know you're living in unbelief and you're living in fear and you're living in timidity and you really want to be set free from that. You want that spirit broken off of you and you want God's spirit to fill your life. How many would say amen to that today?
Amen.
If you and I are not able to speak up for Christ, it means that we're weak spiritually. When we're weak spiritually, we're in unbelief and in fear. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord said, "You shall receive power," dunamis, dynamic working power, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses." You can't do it naturally. You need the power of God in your life. And Lord, right now I'm asking. We're asking. Lord, I'm asking You to baptize me with Your holy fire. Fill my life, Jesus.